Blog Talk Radio.
And this is the Jets podcast, formerly on 247sports.com. The New York Jets in their third preseason game of fall to the New Orleans Saints by a final of 28-13, along with Rick Lachlan. I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Once again, for those of you, pardon me, that do not know, 24/7 Sports no longer has the NFL websites, nor do they have the NBA website. CBS Sports has taken over for them permanently, so 24/7 Sports will mostly be college sports and recruiting and everything else. We are no longer with 24/7 Sports, but for now, until we change the name of this show, which will still be New York Jets related, unless something else we decide to do something with it, we will let everybody know what that will be. But first things first, Rick Lachlan, I think after two positive preseason games, you would have to say that while I thought offensively the Jets were very good in this one, beyond a stripped ball that led to a fumble and the Saints taking it over on a turnover. I think the real question of this game at this point in time is the defense, and I think it's more due to injury than anything else.
And let me say this first. Well, given the move now out of the 247 Sports family, I know, Daniel, you and I, going back to the days of the Green and White Report under Scout.com, of course, eventually part of Fox Sports, and then moving to CBS, we are still very much dedicated and in tune with this podcast. We look forward to what the future may bring, whether that's staying independent, whether it's joining another major network. But again, we really appreciate all the listeners over the years, and it's been really a fun honor, pleasure, and hobby for us to continue doing this. So, like I said, for the Jets now looking towards this upcoming season, of course, I was at the game on Saturday night against the New Orleans Saints, and that was the same takeaway I had, Daniel, is that this secondary has just been ravaged by injury. I mean, you could tell, of course, going against a caliber team like Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, the Jets had absolutely no answers for them. And I felt as though, you know, Joe Douglas, he's really going to start to earn his pay, as he's going to have to find creative ways to bring in some either undrafted players that potentially can help in the secondary. The training staff is going to start earning their paycheck to try to get Tremaine Johnson healthy and ready for week one. Because, boy, oh, boy, aside from, Jamal Adams in that secondary, Marcus May, of course, on Saturday made his first return to the field since last year. The Jets don't have a heck of a lot of answers in the back end of the defense. And facing the Tom Brady's of the world, you look at their schedule, of course, playing the NFC East this year, there are going to be no easy games on that 16-game slate for the New York Jets. And they're going to have to upgrade the secondary and do so fast. The one thing I was surprised with on the offensive side of the ball was a lot of the radio reports that came out was that Sam Darnold was going to play the entire first half and possibly into the third quarter with the starting team as a tune-up for the regular season, which historically the third preseason game has been the closest simulation, you could say, to a regular season contest. And surprisingly, after Sam Darnold led the Jets on that touchdown scoring drive, they pulled him out of the game immediately. And I thought, in retrospect, it was the right decision because that offensive line was really struggling to protect him. That Saints defense that was top five in the NFL last year was getting after Sam Darnold. And, of course, Adam Gase earlier in the preseason admitted fault, and he accepted blame for Avery Williamson's injury now that has him lost for the year, said he should have removed him earlier. And I think despite those reports of the Jets' first-team offense would be in there into the second half and be playing, as the starting team, I think Adam Gase tried to basically err on the side of caution and get Sam Darnold out of there and get some of the starters out of there before an injury happened. And the Jets are further down the rabbit hole than they already are.
I agree with that move, actually, Rick. And I don't blame Adam Gase for pulling Sam Darnold after the touchdown drive that made it 13-10 at that particular time. I should make it 10-7. I should say at that particular time. Don't blame him at all.
If the extra point was made, and the extra point was missed, unfortunately, correct?
No, it was made.
Oh, finally, okay.
Yeah, no,
that's,
exactly.
That's another hole the Jets have to fill is place kicking, right? I mean,
possibly. Taylor Bertolet was able to nail two big field goals, obviously, a 48-yarder and a 56-yarder. That tied the game at 13-13 in the third quarter. But you know what, though? Thank goodness that Bertolet was able to kick the field goal because, you know, or should I say the extra point, because, you know, we can't go into the regular season having a place kicker, having the yips, just to get that extra point down the middle of the uprights and the field goal area. So, I mean, you know, thank God for that. But let's go to that drive for a second. I thought it was an excellent drive by the Jets to at least make it 10-7, cut the deficit down to 3. That really capped off with a fantastic 41-yard chuck by Sam Darnold into the hands of who else, none other than number 11, Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson, to me, midseason form, not only did he make a great run down the sideline along the near side, but he cut inside of his defender, and he just puts his arms out, makes the catch, and he hauls it in, and that was just absolutely fantastic to watch Robbie Anderson. To me, possibly, like, you know, looks like he's in midseason form with some of these plays he's been making, some of these grabs he's been making. To me, that's the big A1, you know, tandem that we're going to see in the wide receiver core. Not saying Quincy Nunua is not also a 1A, but at the same time, you know, you want to see Sam Darnold, you know, going after not just your quality wide receiver that has solid hands, but you want your run-and-gun wide receiver, like what Robbie Anderson is. In my opinion, the future number one wide receiver on the offense for this New York Jets team.
Robbie Anderson, to me, has to show us something. I mean, he's a guy that signed, of course, an extension to be with the team the next 4 years. The Jets basically ponied up and invested in the future to have him be a part of this team moving forward. And frankly, for me, look, I think Robbie Anderson's had some very bright moments. He clearly is one of the fastest players in the NFL, and with routine ability, has the capability to beat any cornerback deep. My question is going to be, is he going to develop the route tree? Is he going to be able to run the intermediate, the underneath routes? Is he going to stay out of trouble off the field? I mean, these are all question marks that I still think remain to be seen. But, of course, again, from a talent perspective, from a playmaking perspective, Robbie Anderson is as good as anybody out there, but just has to have his head screwed on right, and he really has to take to Adam Gase's coaching and the rest, Dow Logan's and the rest of this coaching staff, to really develop him into a potential Pro Bowl player that I think he can be. So for me, again, I think given this Jets wide receiving corps, and we mentioned, of course, the suspension for Chris Herndon, Quincy Enunwa with his injury history, you never know. He's one play away from potentially missing out on time, and I just think that Robbie Anderson, the key to the Jets season is going to be Robbie Anderson getting back to his 2016-2017 form, because last year, while he had some ups, he definitely had some downs. He just was inconsistent, and I think he has to emerge as one of the top targets, if not the top target, for Sam Darnold in this offense.
Yeah, I agree right there, Rick, because Robbie Anderson has done a lot now. You know, he's built up a credibility of his profile, being a wide receiver with explosive speed, great hands. Route running is tremendous, impeccable. That's the one thing you have to see from Robbie Anderson is he needs to be more consistent. I think finally we've seen the immaturity being erased from Robbie Anderson's, shall we say, personal profile, because I think he finally learned that lesson when he got pulled over by local police back in Florida, in South Florida, in his hometown, just to see what he went through. And I think he finally learned a valuable lesson that you can't pull something like this because you're making all this money, because you're in the National Football League, because it could be taken away from you within matter of seconds. And you can't do that. You cannot lose. And look what he does for his mother. If anyone remembers that video with Robbie Anderson, he gave his mother a birthday present, or, you know, a brand new car. And she walked away like, no, this is not for me. And then she had to realize that it was for her. And finally, I think Robbie Anderson finally learning valuable life lessons that, you know, if you're going to be one of the future best wide receivers in the National Football League, well, then you can't be immature and dumb. And then you're going to lose the great gift that you have, and that is being a future wide receiver superstar of the National Football League.
And look, Robbie Anderson's the guy I want to keep an eye on. Le'Veon Bell, of course, has yet to make his preseason debut. If he's not going to play for this final, fourth and final preseason game, we're going to have to wait till week one to see how things pan out. But the player I've been most impressed with this year and last year with the Packers, of course, he had a key fumble and a kick return in the game that ended up costing the Packers a game. He was released, and then he was signed by the Baltimore Ravens, where he really just didn't find his role. He didn't have an opportunity either in the rushing game or the passing game, and that being Ty Montgomery, a really unique player that was converted from wide receiver to running back. He still wears the number 88, which, of course, when you see 88 out on the field, yells that he's a receiver, but he is in the running back position, and he's a multifaceted guy. I think he's going to be a great complement to Le'Veon Bell, has more of a physical north-south running style, but you know, he was again responsible for the touchdown on Saturday from Sam Darnold, and I think he's going to be somewhat of an X factor and a hidden weapon for this Jets team, because look, I don't care what you say about Le'Veon Bell, all the reports, he's in terrific shape, he hasn't missed a beat, he's done terrific in training camp. When you miss an entire season of NFL football and you try to get back to full strength, it's going to take anybody, even the most conditioned of athletes, time to come back, and I think that is not going to be any different in the case of Le'Veon Bell. And to have that security valve and a guy that really is just a half a tick maybe of a downgrade from Le'Veon Bell and Ty Montgomery, I think is just what the doctor ordered for Sam Darnold. So I look for big things from Ty Montgomery this year. I think he's shown a lot throughout the preseason, which, of course, again, I understand you have to take it as a grain of salt because you're competing against potentially second, third teamers. But I think Ty Montgomery has shown that he's a capable player and, frankly, could be a hidden weapon for this Jets team this upcoming season.
And I agree with you as well, Rick, because to me, Ty Montgomery is that hidden weapon because it's great to stay in shape. It's great to stay, you know, physically in shape and, you know, doing your off-season workouts, do your, you know, away from the practice facility workouts at home. And you have your trainer and you have all these people that watch what you eat, how you're going to train, what do you have to do. But as you stated already, Le'Veon Bell has not been in game shape, meaning he hasn't had a touch of the football in either a regular season game or a preseason game. And as we've already know, Adam Gase is not going to let him play in any of these preseason games. They put the kibosh on it. He's going to start week one at MetLife Stadium against the Buffalo Bills, which is fine. If that's where he wants to go, then that's fine by me. It's okay. But the truth is that you got to have some other running backs that can either be equal to him or maybe just slightly below him. And I agree with you about Ty Montgomery. You know, you're getting another guy who is normally a wide receiver, became a running back, is a great pass-catching running back, if you'd like, because he is a wide receiver, so he's known to catch balls regardless. Just to have an offense, to have both Montgomery, Le'Veon Bell, and, of course, there's Elijah McGuire, who's a pure running back. There's, of course, Bilal Powell, who's a pure running back. But the truth of the matter is this, Rick, and, you know, not to, you know, dampen your spirits about Elijah McGuire, but I think as much as I like McGuire a lot, and I think he's got a great future in the National Football League, who knows if that future's with the Jets? Now, I'm not saying he's the one that's going to get cut after the preseason's over. I mean, you never know. He may stay. They might keep him. I don't know how much Bilal Powell has left in the tank either, because we all know that surgery he had to go through because of his neck, stingers and everything else like that. You know, we don't know if he's going to remain with the Jets. So while 1 and 2 in the running back position, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Ty Montgomery to me seems secured, it's who's third? Will there be a fourth? We don't know. And I think that's the big question mark right now for the Jets. Who will Joe Douglas keep? Will he keep the young guy and Elijah McGuire, or will he, who gave a return chance for Bilal Powell, will he eventually cut him before the season gets underway?
And I'll say it, Daniel. I mean, I'm a big fan and proponent of Elijah McGuire, but I think there is a strong likelihood he's going to be the odd man out in that running back room, because you look, of course, behind Le'Veon Bell, Ty Montgomery, the clear second guy behind Bell, and then Bilal Powell, who, frankly, I am surprised at how quickly he has come back and how he's started to look like he's returning to form And just given his past history of contributing to the team, a team first guy, no ego at all, I don't expect the Jets to make him the odd man out. And Trenton Cannon, who I really think can equate to a poor man Darren Sproles. I think he's going to do terrific things in the special teams return game. I don't see him having much of a role as far as the rushing game is concerned, but I think that ultimately he could be used as another dynamic weapon potentially in the passing game. Of course, if the Jets need a change of pace, he has that small frame, he's shifty, and he can make defenders miss. So I think that while Elijah McGuire, I think, still possesses a role and some value on this team, because of the plethora of talent the Jets have at the position, I don't know where else they turn as far as making a move and potentially getting rid of him. I think Ty Montgomery, don't forget, I think you could plug him in a lot of different positions if they have a full house backfield, if they want to use him at tight end. While Chris Herndon is out, I mean, he's a very versatile type guy that's just adept at running, adept at blocking, adept at passing, and it's really a blessing in disguise for the Jets, but they're going to have some difficult personnel decisions to make, and I'm not going to say that at this point Elijah McGuire could be part of the opening day 53-man roster, because the Jets, frankly, they have a lot of holes to fill, and who knows, if Joe Douglas gets a little creative, he tries to swing a trade that Elijah McGuire may retain some trade value if they need to pick up another cornerback, a nickelback, or even a safety, that Elijah McGuire could be on the move to potentially bring in some reinforcements in that secondary. That could be a move that at least Joe Douglas should look at exploring to try to improve some of the weaknesses due to injury on the other side of the ball for the Jets.
Yeah, very true, Rick. And that's the one thing, sadly, that has hit the Jets pretty hard. Injuries, once again, Avery Williamson done for the year with a torn ACL. He got taken out by his own man accidentally while trying to prevent a pass to be converted by the Falcons in the end zone at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So that's going to be a big hole to fill. Once again, that front seven, in my mind, Rick, is dangerous. The front seven got even more dangerous when they drafted Quinnen Williams. Now, I know he just got fined by the NFL for whatever late challenge, I guess it was, that happened in the preseason game in Atlanta. But, you know, to me, the Greg Williams being, you know, the catalyst and, of course, running this defense, that front seven, my God, is so dangerous, so damaging to the opposition. I mean, we're seeing plays where, you know, it's more like not so much you're calling plays, but it's more like you're calling the dogs to go after their prey.
And Greg Williams only knows one speed. He's not a guy that's going to be during the preseason very happy with guys going at 75%. He only knows one way, and that's 110% all the time, every day. I mean, you can just see from all his coaching career, how he inspires his team, how he's very vocal at practices. Both him and Adam Gase, you know, even during the telecasting, they're both alpha male types. They challenge their players. They are not afraid to get even in veteran leaders' faces and challenge if they're doing something incorrectly. And that, to me, I think is going to be an asset to this Jets team. And I think it could work both ways. I've told you, Daniel, that first six or seven games the Jets face, it's a pretty daunting task. And I think if you're a Jet fan, you'd be happy with 4-3 through the first seven games. You would live with 3-4. But anything worse than that, dare I say 2-5, 1-6, or God forbid 0-7, things could go south very quickly with this team, because you have a lot of volatile personalities on the coaching staff. And I think that ultimately, again, I think the Jets will be at or above 500 by game seven. But Greg Williams is the type of guy that, again, he demands and expects the most out of his players. He puts in 110%, and I'd imagine this preseason period where you have vanilla offenses, you have defenses that aren't running multiple formations, you have first teamers that are only playing a quarter, in some cases maybe at most a half, he's not exactly pleased with that type of scenario. And come regular season, you'll be able to fully evaluate this defense's capabilities and what Greg Williams is bringing into the fold. So for me, I think that Quinnen Williams is a guy that you've really only seen him start to explore his potential and what kind of impact he's going to have on the field. Because when you basically are watching these guys with training wheels on and only for a snapshot of a series or two at a time, you can't really fully evaluate the kind of players that they are and that they can be in the case of Quinnen Williams. So I'm excited about what this defense can do, but unfortunately, I think given the the injuries in that secondary, it's going to put just undue stress and emphasis on that front seven getting pressure, because otherwise I think that secondary is going to get exposed, and I think they'll be exposed fast unless there's some reinforcements on the way, returning healthy from injury, and Joe Douglas gets a little creative to try to bring in some reinforcements at the back end of the defense.
Well, I think that's the one thing they're going to see what Joe Douglas is going to have to do, because right now his back's against the wall. Not all the way to the wall, but, you know, close enough where he knows he has to retool the secondary of this defense, because, as we said before, Marcus May is returning now from his injuries. Jamal Adams is Jamal Adams. The safeties have been unreal, a monster, and, you know, Jamal Adams will get his sacks when he's rushing in from the secondary on certain parts of, you know, first down, maybe even second down. Don't think he'll be doing that on third down, but you never know if he just comes in a safety sneak. We'll see what happens. But we're, you know, right now the holes are getting bigger ever since, I guess, after week one because of all the injuries. Trumaine Johnson, hopefully he'll come back from his leg issues and on time, hopefully for week one. If not, maybe for week two on Monday Night Football. But still, though, right now corner is a very serious issue for the Jets that they need to fix and fill in before, you know, this regular season begins, because you have one preseason game remaining. That'll be at MetLife Stadium against the Philadelphia Eagles this coming Thursday. And then it's the week off, and then next thing you know, it's time to get ready for the Buffalo Bills week one, the weekend after Labor Day. And, you know, look, we're ready for it. We know Jet fans are ready for it. We're going to get ready to have some fun and see how this improved offense, improved defense is going to be. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, obviously, news came out already. Brandon Copeland, linebacker for the New York Jets, has been suspended by the National Football League for games for violation of course, using performance-enhancing drugs. You know, he's been suspended for the first four games of the NFL. We all know we're going to lose Chris Herndon for the first four games of the season due to a traffic situation or a car crash incident situation that happened to him in his rookie season. And now he's going to pay for it for the beginning of this year. That, in my mind, is also a tough pill to swallow, I should say, because, okay, you knew you were going to lose Herndon, but you couldn't lose somebody else. And Copeland being a linebacker, you know, starting or maybe coming off the bench to sub in on certain situations, it's just a situation where it's very disappointing to see some of these players just not paying attention, at the same time not reading the labels and contacting the Jets doctors to say, listen, I am taking this supplement or this vitamin or this such and such and so and so. Is this ingredient legal? And the Jets doctors will help them, inform them that you can't take this supplement or pill or vitamin because it has a banned substance on it.
And not to get too personal here, but I know the NFL even sent memos about certain male enhancement pills that that actually have banned substances in them. So that has been an ongoing issue as far as NFL players putting something in their body that they think is completely innocuous, is not going to have any impact as far as HGH or steroids or any type of banned substance. And then here they go, not realizing that it does and that they're serving a suspension. Golden Tate faces a 4-game suspension, and he appealed because basically it was some kind of drug he was using for another use, and it ended up having a banned substance. So that is on the players. I mean, it's just a shame that the players are educated on this kind of thing. They've told at rookie symposiums what they can and can't put in their body and who they should consult with, whether it's the team doctors, whether it's their own doctors that they see. And too many times, far too many times, players just taking things that they think are supplements that will have no impact on potential suspensions. And sure enough, here's Brandon Copeland serving a 4-game suspension, which I think, it's just another lesson learned that these players, they have to be ultra careful in what they put into their bodies. And I don't think as many times as they should be that they're really paying close enough attention to that. One thing I just want to spend a minute or two talking about, Daniel, I know it's not Jets related, but in a way it is, and it's the Andrew Luck retirement. I mean, this news broke, and it was during the second half of the Jets game that Andrew Luck was calling it a career after, at the age of 29, after I believe 7 seasons in the league, and everybody just in shock disbelief that this Colts quarterback, and many teams had thought, many players and many front offices had thought that Luck, who had 39 touchdowns last year, was really on the road to having a potential MVP season. And for him to basically announce his retirement has an impact on the Jets. It's going to have an impact on the AFC wildcard race. And ultimately, I don't disagree with Luck's decision. I think he knows his body better than anybody. If he knew he was breaking down, he kept trying to rehab from these various injuries that he had and just wasn't able to get back to himself. I can respect that decision. What I can't respect is the fact that somehow this was leaked before Andrew Luck could even make the announcement himself, that Adam Schefter, ESPN, was the first one to report it. And it's just a sad thing to think that Andrew Luck's final, potentially his final game and final day as a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts is him walking off the field being booed by Indianapolis Colts fans who already got wind of the news. And I just think it's such a sad thing the way things played out. I respect Andrew Luck's decision. I understand why he did it. And I'm not ruling out his potential return to the NFL, potentially when he gets healthy. But being the son of a former NFL quarterback and Oliver Luck, I think he understands the toll that this game takes on a player's body. And it's not going to be a popular decision and probably not an easy one for him to make. But it's going to have an impact on, of course, the Colts for this upcoming year. But I think for the rest of the AFC, and particularly for the Jets, who could be in the mix for that wild card spot.
You know what it is, and I agree with you. I think the AFC South is wide open right now. Right now, you're going to have a battle between three sides. It's going to be Houston, Tennessee, Jacksonville. We don't know what Brissett's going to do. We don't know how, if he is ready to take over this Colts team. Some say yes, some say no. I don't know. I'm not in Indianapolis, nor are you. We don't know right now. So at the moment, safe bet is Indianapolis is the odd team out. And I would have to say that both wild cards are truly up for grabs. Don't know how it's going to affect in the AFC West. We don't know, you know, who's going to be winning that division. It might be Kansas City again. I don't know how good the Chargers are. I don't know how good the Broncos will be. I don't even know how improved the Raiders are. So at least you can definitely say Kansas City will win the West. Once again, the one of the two wild cards are definitely going to be in the North. Whoever wins the division and whoever takes the second position is going to take one of those wild cards. Right now, you're still going to say New England in the East to win the division, but the Jets now have an opportunity to either be in line for either one or both wild card spots, depending on how it shapes up this season. But right now, you just have to say that the Jets, they have an opportunity and they cannot squander it, because, you know, once again, you got an upgrade in the head coaching department, and now a possible upgrade in the general managing department.
And look, you hate for it to happen in this kind of fashion due to injury or due to Andrew Luck prematurely retiring because of a nagging injury that he's been battling over the years. But there is an opening for the Jets. I think first and foremost, they have to keep their own house in order. We mentioned some of the holes on the roster that have to be addressed through the front office. You have a player in Sam Darnold. Under the guidance and leadership of Adam Gase, you hope he takes that next step this season. And for me, again, this is a Jets team that I feel like can make that next step. They can reach to 500. They can potentially look at 9 wins, dare I say 10 wins, but it's going to start with that opening game against Buffalo and that first 7-game stretch. If they're able to tread water, stay afloat, and stay positive throughout a very difficult stretch of the schedule, I like the prospect for at least being for one of those wild card spots come December.
I agree with you there, and we will have to wait and see what's going to happen when this season begins. Now, everyone, thank you very much for listening to today's Jets podcast show, formerly of 247sports.com. Hopefully, our next podcast, which will be probably this coming Friday, as we'll review the preseason game, the last preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles at MetLife Stadium, and then we'll get ready for some preseason action, regular season action for week one, as the Buffalo Bills do come to start the season at MetLife Stadium. And we will see how that will be handled by this New York Jets team. The New York Jets fall to the New Orleans Saints by a final of 28-13, and the Jets preseason records at 1-2. For Rick Lachlan, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. This has been the Jets podcast preseason week 3 review show, as the New York Jets once again fall to New Orleans Saints by a final of 28-13. Talk to you on Friday. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now.